Welcome to the B Show.
The B Show.
The B Show.
A wrestling podcast.
Yo, what's up? It's the next edition of the B Show, a wrestling podcast. I'm Dixon.
I am Fancy J.
Not so fancy today.
How dare you, dude? I'm looking fly.
You look like you got dressed in the dark.
Listen, man, I gotten so many compliments on this outfit, more so than any other outfit I've worn in a while. Literally every woman that I came into contact today said how they love the color and how I'm just looking, you know.
I think they just felt bad because of everything that happened yesterday, and they just know that all your rights are going out the window.
I see what you did right there.
Yeah, I called you gay.
That was good. Oh, gay. I thought you were calling me like Latino or something else.
Muslim. No, that's me.
Muslim. Yeah, I think you and I might be doing this from this show from Canada at some point.
I'm not allowed in there.
That's right.
A story for another time, though.
You keep saying that.
It's a long story.
We should just do a second show of the week where you just tell that story.
It won't be this week, though.
No.
Lots going on.
We're dog tired. Here's the deal. I can't speak for Dixon, but I just told him this. I didn't watch 1 minute of wrestling this week. My mind was on other things. We're recording this Wednesday evening. So Tuesday, the whole world was watching something else. So I didn't watch the recorded.
Well, the other
SmackDown
thing too,
live that wasn't live.
Despite the presidential election, with both shows being recorded this week,
yeah,
it's hard to not go online, read the spoilers, and then zip through it on the DVR even faster than I typically do, and that's what I did this week.
Well, so when we get into the wrestling portion, you can at least talk to it. I just read through the spoilers.
I don't know that I watched DVR'd. A whole bunch of stuff. Like, I zipped through.
Yeah, well, you probably saw the three things that I talked about. But anyway, let's first, how's your week been, man?
Long. Got a good friend that's pretty ill. And
shout out to him. How's he doing?
Better. He's home. He's comfortable. He's resting. Still nervous, as anybody would be with that much of a health scare. And for those of you listening that know who I'm talking about, help me keep his spirits up, would you? Because I know there's a few of you out there that are tight and close with, you know, just leave it at that.
And I'm not sure if I'm supposed to say this. I don't know this person, but you told me a story of what a good dude you are, man. You know, you were there by his bedside in the hospital for multiple days, multiple evenings, bringing him food, even if he wasn't in the right mind frame to have you there. You still were there, and you got him through some difficult stuff, and he's heading home soon, right?
He's home.
He's home.
He's
so
home
awesome.
And resting.
So,
one of my best friends. Dude was in my wedding, so that'll give you a little idea of, you know, how tight the two of us are. And typically I don't get like super sappy or emotional, but you know, it was one of those things where like when I had my health issues both in 2011 and 2015, this was a dude that was one of the first people to come and see me and have my back in that situation. So it's the least I can do to reciprocate.
That's awesome, man. Did you happen to see game 7 of the World Series?
I watched the 8th, 9th, and most of the 10th inning.
You saw the good. I mean, what a game! The last time we recorded the show was a week ago, which was Game 7. We both picked the Cubs. I went with the Indians because I felt like I was going to jinx the Cubs. I was rooting.
Well, you just
for the
always
want
to be right in one way or another.
No. I think the Cubs were the better team. If I was in Vegas, I would have bet the Indians just because I didn't want to jinx the team I really wanted to win. I'm insanely superstitious. So. Like, I didn't even watch my Giants beat the Eagles because they went up like 28-7 before I could even turn on the TV. So I'm like, all right, I'll just watch it later if they win. And if they lose, I didn't waste 3 hours. But anyway, dude, that was an epic game, man.
It was baseball. I haven't watched baseball in 20 years.
That was awesome.
I was a huge baseball fan when I was a kid. It's just what got me was two things. One, the length of the games just got out of hand. Like, I don't have
You're
4 hours to watch baseball, yeah,
overall.
In general.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate interleague play. I think it cheapens the World Series. I think it kind of convolutes the whole concept of things. And as much as I love the NFL, I'm also, you know, I'm more used to it now, but I'm completely and totally against interleague play. What's the point of the championship game if you're not going to keep the two divisions separate?
You know, when interleague play first came in, I was really excited for. Just you get a different teams that are coming into your market or going, you know, different matchups. You know, I'm a huge Yankee fan.
But how at that
Mets.
Point do you prove that you're the best in that league if you're not exclusively playing those teams over and over?
I agree with you. I think Interleague has damaged the. I think Interleague has damaged the World Series in the sense that you are likely to see that matchup,
right,
within the last couple of years because they rotate. Division matchups from either league, but the last couple of World Series. I mean, what is this? I think I read 4 out of the last 7 World Series have gone to Game 7. So I mean, you're getting good matchups, and you're getting
because you had the experience of playing each other and seeing the film and talking to other people and the whole nine yards, where you didn't have that back in the day.
Well, I mean, back then it was awesome too. It was just that.
There was more of a mystique to the game. I know I'm romanticizing the good old days of baseball, but I think it was a better time.
Oh, I mean, if you absolutely, I still love baseball, but yeah, absolutely.
In a major metropolitan city like Chicago or New York, or even LA back in the day, when you had two teams in town, like the big thing was to, like, fingers crossed, maybe the World Series will be the Yankees Mets or the Cubs White Sox, or
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and now you don't get that because, like, the whole mystique, the whole
or Dodger
excitement
Yankee.
Of seeing mm-hmm. it is now convoluted because you can just happen to see it for 6 games during the regular season.
Yep.
That's just my opinion. Yours could vary.
No, I agree. The matchups aren't as, quote-unquote, sexy as they used to be because, like you said, that's the only time that they would – the Big Red Machine or the Dodgers would match up against the Yankees or Kansas City or Oakland
and imagine
versus
like
San Francisco
a Cincinnati
back in the
Cleveland World Series. Yep. You know what I mean? Like, there's no draw to it anymore.
I will say this, though, lastly about the Game 7 is that game had so much hype, had – probably the last time the country will be unified for
it was well booked.
I mean, if you're booking a Game 7, you got rain delays. You've got like an epic home run to tie from a dude who hasn't hit a home run like in months, and a guy who hadn't given up a home run since he was with the Yankees in June. You had the manager
well-written.
Mistakes.
You couldn't
over
write it
and
any
over
better.
Again. You really couldn't. The only negative thing
I was insinuating that it was fixed.
Oh gosh, are you saying it's fixed?
I think everything on some level is to a degree.
I was going to say the only negative thing is that it finished at like at 1:30 or 1 o'clock in the morning.
Get some insomnia, bro.
Dude, I was up
reveling
it. I loved it on the West Coast when that stuff went in early, though. So let's get into any thoughts on your election? Your new president of the United States of America, since you can't go to Canada,
not yet.
Not soon
until January 20th, bro.
Soon to be. Let's.
I got a few months to figure this shit out, all right? I'm thinking about Colombia.
Hold on. Is a WWE Hall of Famer. Literally a Hall of Famer of the WWE is the
I would have voted Hogan over Trump. I really would have.
Hogan post sex video or
whatever,
hey,
man,
doesn't matter. Any Hogan,
at least he's transparent with his views on race.
That's true.
I don't think Trump's ever publicly dropped the N-word.
No, he has not.
It's
but
coming,
again,
though.
It wasn't absolutely something's coming, whether it's the bomb or whatever. And I'm sure there's
well, here's
tons
the thing,
of
man, is it's already happening. Like, you know, just I tried really hard to avoid social media all day today because I knew it was just mm-hmm. gonna depress me and piss me off and whatever else, but like. You're looking in Oakland where there's literally things on fire in the street, in Phoenix, Arizona where there's
really? I have
huge
stayed off
protests
computer all day.
And like there's in Syracuse tonight there was a vigil in Clinton Square, and it's just like, I get it, young people, you're upset, but like, you know, like we've all, us older guys, have lived through this a few times. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, I watched Reagan get shot live as a kid. You know, and I don't want to say that that's coming because I genuinely, as much as I despise Donald Trump and his misogyny and racism and everything else that you can throw at the guy, like the last thing I want is somebody to shoot him because have you done your research on Pence?
Oh, gosh.
I genuinely think that he was like, who can I get to be my vice president so that I don't get murdered? I know this lunatic over here. Let's just go get Pence.
I'm so glad you said that because I wanted to say that 2 minutes ago, and I'm like, you know what? I won't go that deep because I don't have all of the answers on it. But Pence scares me as much, if not more, than Trump.
More.
Here's a dude that doesn't want to that wants to give up HIV research and use that money to treat gay people and send them to a gay
gay camp, basically.
Gay camp, yeah, of being able to realize, oh, no, this isn't really how you were born. This is something that you choose yeah. to do. Like, that's the sick shit that's in our office. Well, we'll soon to be in our office.
January 20th, bro. We got time. Yeah. And here's the thing, and I'm going to say this. I'm not a very PC guy. I know my language can get kind of loose. I actually called you gay earlier in the show, but it's one of those things where, like, I have a lot of homosexual friends that all understand that I'm just kind of an old school guy that doesn't have a filter. Like, I am all for everybody in this country having the exact same rights. Plain and simple. That's how it rolls. Maybe yep. my language doesn't express that as much as it could, but by the same token, like, I'm not going to bow down to the PC side of America and use my proper language when, quite frankly, I've been speaking like this forever. And I think my actions out in our communities demonstrate far more than any language I would use on a podcast or on the radio or on social media.
Well, as it comes down to is the actions. And you know, the thing that shocks me more than anything, besides, I guess, him winning, because I was surprised. I thought it would be close over this last week, but I didn't think he would actually win. But even if he did win, I was thinking, okay, it's electoral votes and how the states broke. I mean, he won the popular vote.
No, he didn't.
Oh, it changed?
No, Hillary won the popular vote. He won the electoral vote. I mean, let's face facts.
They're
both hugely, like, catastrophically just awful human beings. They're both just shit people. But if you got to go lesser of two evils, I'm going to go with Cloak and Dagger over misogyny and blind hatred for things that you don't understand, like homosexuality.
Well, yeah. I mean,
the people that she's being shady with and about are people that are at a high level and not the citizens of our country. They're people that are also shady and involved in government. Where Donald Trump, man, I'm telling you, like, we'll get into it a little bit when we get to our movie pick. Yeah. But,
well, I mean, it comes down to one wants to take away the rights of the citizens. And the people who voted for him and put him in power agree with that. Whether it's gay marriage, it's Muslims deportation, whether it's a wall, whether it's getting immigrants out, whether it's if you're gay or not, abortion, women's body.
At least weed's
going to
be legal, bro.
I mean, yeah, I know, right? Yeah.
You know, how do we distract all the gays and Hispanics and black folks from taking away their rights? Everybody. Let's just let them smoke weed.
Everybody's going to be high. They won't even know Trump's in the office.
I think that's the idea.
It's smart. I mean, I don't smoke weed, but if I did, I would be blazing over the next 4 years.
I don't smoke weed either, but...
Oh, no, yeah. There was no air quotes for me on that.
Yeah, I used the air quotes.
Oh, you okay? Yeah. I wasn't sure.
I was hoping you would mention that I was being sarcastic, so that I didn't have to.
I wasn't sure if you were being
incriminate
sarcastic.
Myself because I may run at this point.
You should. Well, I mean, I was going to say this. I mean, one WWE Hall of Famer is now the president, soon to be president of the United States, and a current WWE superstar, Rhino, did not.
He
get
was
into
doomed
office.
From the get,
Michigan.
Though, man.
Michigan gets Trump in. Michigan kicks Rhino out.
Terry, I love you, sir, but your campaign was a little too goofy for middle America.
You think it hurt him while he's putting cheese on crackers and he's with Heath Slater picking on, like,
yes.
rednecks? I mean, I couldn't believe he put himself in that type of storyline.
He was in a rural portion of Michigan.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
And the last thing I want to say about the whole presidential election is it speaks volumes when they have to break it down to the point where they say that Trump won because of people in their 30s without a college education running towards the guy. Like, I heard that in like 15 mm-hmm. different instances while watching the election coverage on a multitude of networks last night. So you're telling me that it's, and I'm not saying you're uneducated because you got through high school. Good for you. Congratulations. Most of you probably got a GED. But the fact of the matter is, like, it really bothers the hell out of me. This dude essentially absorbed a lot of the platforms that Bernie Sanders stood on,
yes,
roped them in, and then regurgitated it to these uneducated idiots. And then
it is going to be the most difficult.
I'm just at a loss.
It's going to be the most difficult string of promises that a future president has to live up to. Because his stuff wasn't, okay, I'm going to raise taxes on this or I'm going to lower. I mean, he's talking about building walls, deportation of hundreds of thousands of citizens, getting rid of human rights that have been in our country for decades now. I mean, it's going to get nasty. And the scary thing is, I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican, but Republicans own, have the House, have the
Senate, have the Congress. Yeah, where's our checks and balances?
There's no checks and balances. So, I mean, he can pretty much write his ticket. And he's going to get rid of the Paul Ryans and everybody else that have been pushing against him. So
yeah.
Who would have thought that again, I'm going to reiterate this for our wrestling fans, a WWE Hall of Famer not only took down the Democratic Party, and they have to rethink how they move forward. He also is going to implode the Republican. He already did so, but he's getting a lot of this old regime out of here.
It really boils down to the fact that this is why a two-party system is flawed.
Mm-hmm.
Plain and simple. I think we go back to the old days of the first few elections where two people ran, three people ran, whatever it was. Number one vote getter, president. Number two vote getter, vice president. There's your checks and balances.
Yep. I agree. And, you know, and I still just, I mean, I know that there's reasons. I've read books. I've read articles on why the Electoral College is the way to go. But to me, at the end of the day, if you win the popular vote, and I thought Trump won it. So, I mean, I checked out. I mean,
why are we
like
doing the popular
o'clock.
Vote if the Electoral College is going to determine
exactly.
it anyway?
It
why are you wasting an hour and a half of my time making me bring my ID to some random church in the middle of nowhere, and then you got some old hillbilly broad claiming that it's not me?
And you have,
and then I've got to go out to the cop that's sitting in front and have him scan my license and
happened?
Then come back in with a printout saying that it really was me.
I didn't even get ID'd. I walked right in there, and they're like, what's your address? Gave me my address, and she's like, is this your signature, honey? She's like 90 years old.
You're not 33%
like,
Puerto Rican, yep. sir.
And then I agree. And
that was where I got the – because here's the thing, man. Like, I was pretty confident. I was cocksure the same way the Clinton camp was going into yesterday morning, like, we got this.
Yeah.
There's no way America's stupid enough to elect Trump. And then that shit happened to me at the polling place, and I got this weird feeling in my gut, like, uh-oh. This motherfucker might have a chance.
Well, then you hear about what happened in North Carolina and the stuff, and then you know the shooting in California. I mean, the thing that I don't like about the Electoral College is how almost every state is guaranteed to go the way it has been over the last, you know, however many years. I know Pennsylvania changed for the first time in, you know, five elections, but for the most part, it goes down to certain counties in Michigan that got Trump or Florida. I mean, what?
It was Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Florida that caused all of this. And it's because Hillary Clinton took the stand or took a stand and kind of talked down to all of these rural people who then saw this messiah in Donald Trump and
she
then rallied behind.
She didn't go into those blue collar counties that Biden did for Obama for the last
I think she sat on her laurels and thought that if she paraded Bill out there enough that all the people our age were going to be like, oh yeah, here we go.
Or she probably thought what we all thought. Who the hell thinks that Donald Trump could be president of the United States?
Yeah.
I mean, I one last thing as far as the popular vote. If you want everybody to get off their asses to vote, if they feel that their vote is going to matter, then they're going to do it. I've lived in California, I've lived in New York, and I've lived in Illinois. All three of those states are Democratic and have been Democratic for God knows how long. So you have so many people that you talk to, you're like, well, my vote doesn't matter. I mean, you already know what the state's going to be. But if you do a popular vote, every single person who goes to the poll matters. You put an importance on it. And I just don't understand why us as a country can't go and do that. On to some great news, though. I mean, it's a rough segue. But speaking of another beatdown this week, let's get into a little fantasy football update.
Hey, man, the sun even shines on a dog's ass some days.
You
had me
what?
Without my starting quarterback, David Johnson. Basically, I had my four best point scorers on bye.
First of all, you had your starting quarterback. You had Cam Newton. Newton.
Oh, sorry. I have so many leagues.
You only had David Johnson on a bye.
No, there was somebody else. No, he was out and LeGarrette Blount was out. So I had my top two running backs.
I don't believe Blount was on your team. You just made a trade. I don't think you have Blount on that team. You only had Cam Newton out and then maybe a wide receiver, but you put
it was definitely two of my top 3 point scorers were out. Regardless.
But anyway, I mean,
you won.
Yeah,
I can admit that you won, but
Fancy
it's a long season, and it's
just
point,
let me have my moment.
You had it. You've had it since Sunday, dude.
Yes, but the listeners don't know. Here's the deal: I was down a game and only up by a certain amount of points. If I had lost this game to you, I'd have been down two games plus a tiebreaker and points. So now we're both 6-3. I'm third in the division. I think you're fourth or fifth.
I'm fourth.
You're fourth. and I have about 78 more points than you, but I have the tiebreaker. So now it all comes down to,
you are going to lose.
Who can get into the playoffs further? Hey, listen, I beat you down. The Pebble beat Reefer Sutherland 158 to 102. Do you know how nervous I was for this game, man?
Like, I'm sure you were. I knew going into it that I wasn't going to win because I lost two of my top three players.
Yeah, dude. Well, I had Bias too, man.
Not like this.
Really?
Really.
I had the number one player on both teams out. Bell from Pittsburgh. Wasn't even. Oh, no, he played.
Yeah.
Who did I have out? I had somebody
out. Yeah, and he's not the number one player. David Johnson is the number one player.
Okay, I'll give you David Johnson. He'd buy a number two player.
He didn't, dude. He missed the first four games. How is he the number two player?
I'm saying the best guy.
Oh, stop with that shit. Fantasy football is all about stats, plain and simple.
If you look at the stats for Bell, he is number two since he has started behind David Johnson.
Since he has started, not for the season.
Well, no, exactly. All right. And how about my boy that you said would be a bust? You know what? I'm going to jinx my team. Jimmy Graham, thank you very much. I love you for that Monday night performance.
You want to do a little side bet? Because I'm willing to bet that within the next 4 weeks that ACL tears again. You can see him gimping off the field in between plays.
I'm not betting for someone to...
No, I'm betting that it'll happen. You can bet that it can't.
No, I don't want to bet an injury. I'm already putting my hair and my sanity and pride on the line. I'm not going to put somebody's ACL on it.
I might just throw the last game just so I can get a tattoo of your face on my inner thigh and rub my penis against it lovingly.
You know what? And that would be the greatest forfeit that I would ever experience. So please do. Please do, because every time I see you walk or I see you up on stage or I see your Facebook post, I'm going to be like, my face is touching his taint. And I'll be happy.
No, just my penis. You don't get the Grundle area. You don't deserve it.
You don't know where you're going to be positioned.
You have no idea how glorious my Grundle is.
If you lay down, my face could be on your Grundle. You can't position it.
Yeah, I can. It's inner thigh, bro, right here. Like,
oh, you can position a tattoo.
Inside the quad, just close enough that I can take Mr. Thicky, as everybody likes to call him.
Mr. Thicky?
And rub that one-eyed monster all over your face.
Okay, here's the thing.
I'm going to take video of it, and I'm going to post it on your social media.
Why you got to post it on my page?
Because it's your face, son.
That's fine. And I'll be like, this is what happens when you play with Fancy J and you lose.
Yep.
And I'll teach my son a lesson. By the way, you keep losing the weight you've been losing, it's going to be on your taint. It'll probably be like up in your
head. Yeah, dude.
He's a little skinny.
169 pounds, bro. I'm not skinny by any stretch of the imagination.
Okay, just for the new people, how heavy were you 2 years ago?
2 years ago? When I got out of the hospital in 15.
What's the heaviest you've ever been?
Heaviest I've ever been is 387.
And how long ago was that?
2011.
Okay, and what were you 2 years ago when you got out of the hospital?
January 15, I believe I was 231, 232.
So you've lost almost 100 pounds in a couple of years.
Nah, dude.
Well, you said
it's like 66 pounds.
It's a lot, man. And you're doing it naturally. You're not doing it like, oh, hey, I had my stomach stapled or.
Nope. And nothing against the people that do that stuff because each their own, man. But, I got work ethic.
Do what you got to do. All right. So, what's your movie pick of the week? You kind of hinted at it as far as the election. So
it's not an 80s movie. It's pretty modern. It's a Luke Wilson vehicle called Idiocracy.
Oh. Such a great movie.
That if you have an opportunity to watch it on Netflix, because I think it foreshadows what's going to happen over the course of the next 4 years. It's the dumbing down of America.
I hope not. I hope I don't see people driving with like freaking bicycle helmets on. And
we're going to start watering crops with Brondo because it's got electrolytes.
That movie is so underrated. Like, so
I agree. And I hate Luke Wilson.
Yeah, he's so good.
I don't like
that.
Owen Wilson either.
Yeah.
I just want to punch his nose so that it goes straight again.
Oh, my gosh. You're so negative. Why do you want to hit everybody? That's what makes Owen Wilson Owen Wilson is that crooked nose.
No, it's not.
It's like saying Cindy Crawford, you want to bite the mole off. That made her.
Yeah, I want to do it in a sexual way, though.
Oh, Jesus. Do you have anything to say about it? Like, what's it about?
So basically, Luke Wilson's this guy, right? And he's in the army, but he's like a shitty army lazy guy. So they take him out of his job and they have him volunteer for this experiment where, like, they're going to cryogenically freeze him for a year and wake up. And then they cryogenically freeze him and a hooker. And then something happens on the army base and somebody gets in trouble and they forget about him for 500 years. And then they both wake up 500 years in the future. And it's very much like what Donald Trump America is going to be like, You got to see it.
Who wrote really and directed it?
Mike Judge, I believe.
Mm-hmm. From Beavis and Butthead,
Office Space. Yep.
Yeah, he's very talented.
It's definitely a biting, satirical,
it's got a glimpse message
into our future, man.
Yeah, it's got a message and a theme. It's a great choice. Mine,
it's what plants crave.
Mine Brando. Is what could happen. My movie is not in the 80s. It came out in 2000, and it's probably my favorite war movie. And I say war in quotes because they don't actually ever go to war. But it's about the Marines. So it's Tigerland. And it came
never
out.
Never even heard of it.
Dude, it is.
And I worked at a Blockbuster.
It's phenomenal. Came out in 2000. Joel Schumacher wrote and directed it. It's pretty much Colin Farrell's first starring lead role.
I don't even know who that is.
You don't know who Colin Farrell is?
He's like one. Is he related to Will Farrell?
No, he's like one of the biggest movie actors.
What else has he been in besides this Tiger movie?
He's been in True Detective season 2. He was the lead. He
didn't
was
watch
in,
it.
He was
something I would have seen
in the original Daredevil movie. That's the bad guy,
the Ben Affleck one.
Yeah,
yeah. I didn't watch that terrible piece of shit.
He's in the new Harry Potter Fantastic Beasts.
Do I look like I watch Harry Potter movies?
He was in the remake of Fright Night.
Nope.
Oh my gosh! I mean, he is like a huge
Colin Farrell.
Colin Farrell.
Are you sure you're not thinking of Colin Hanks, Tom Hanks' son?
No, not Colin Hanks. Come on now. Colin Hanks in a war movie? No, Colin Farrell.
No clue.
Google him right now while I tell our audience.
I don't have access to the internet right now.
All right. Well, I'll show it to you after. I'll tweet a picture. I guarantee you.
I feel like you're making him up.
No, yeah, I feel like you're just messing with me.
I am.
Yeah, I know you are. So basically, the movie is takes place in 71. It's a platoon.
So it's a non-movie.
Yeah. It's a platoon of recruits. And they arrive in Louisiana. It's infantry training before they're leaving for the war. So it's like the week they go to this place called Tigerland, which simulates what Vietnam is going to look like. And so there's this guy, Jim Paxton, who enlists, and he just wants to experience it. He thinks war is this beautiful thing and this manly thing, and he wants to write a book about it. And he comes into contact with Colin Farrell's character, who's like a cool Texan, badass dude. He actually... he goes against the rules, and he's been kicked out of a bunch of different precincts or, you know, military groups. But what he does is so many people want out, so he can come up with excuses and reasons for guys, the misfits, to get out of this training and go over to Vietnam. So even though he's a fuck up, he does stuff to help the guys. He knows as soon as he goes over there, they're going to die.
This sounds like a serious movie.
Oh yeah, it's a war. It's comedy. I mean, it's not a comedy. It has like humorous moments in it, but basically, so the guy who thinks that war is great, in this training, he's mentally and physically breaking down, and Colin Farrell's character Boz is planning on leaving, all while they go into this actual simulated war. Between two infantries, both all American soldiers, but they're going against each other. And then the guy who's leading the second infantry is kind of like a psycho guy. He just wants to kill people. And he looks at the war has broke him down. And he looks at Colin as somebody who doesn't take it serious and doesn't love his country. And so you have this tense standoff between these as they go through, you know, what seems to be the jungles of Vietnam, but it's all in Louisiana. Dude, it is amazing. It's
well, now our listeners don't have to watch it because you just basically
I didn't tell you what happened. I mean, that's the plot. That's the plot. Tigerland 2000, Colin Farrell.
Who?
Farrell, not Will's brother. Very, 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 very good movie. Highly recommend it. Your B-side choice cut of the week is As He Thinks on the Fly.
Well, no, it's not that. I told you not to do it, but I'm so enamored with this season of Shameless that I'm gonna put out that this season of Shameless has been one of my favorites. Since the first few, all the characters seem to be on the same story arc, and I'm not going to ruin it for anybody, but there's a whole lot of subtle things that are happening in the show where you're seeing a lot of the characters go down the same path, but in completely different ways that, in my opinion, is the epitome of good television.
Two questions. I watched this last episode, and I haven't watched probably the last season and a half.
Oh, then you've got to go back.
So, yeah, but one, what the hell is William H. Macy's character doing with all those people in the house?
And we don't want to ruin it for the listeners if they haven't.
And then
I'm not
two
a big
is,
spoiler, guys.
Man, I wanted Emmy Rossum to be like, to that boss who
is that Fiona?
Yeah, talking about the raise. I wanted to be like, get your own damn double cheeseburger or whatever she ordered.
Oh, yeah.
Because she's sitting at the diner. And,
she still works for her. She's hot, dude. Like, I don't typically like
oh, gosh. I've
rail thin, like, small boob girls, but she does it for me. She's so
gross. What? I've actually hung out with her, and she is not hung out with her, meaning, like, she would know who I am, but I've been in the same area with her physically.
So you stalked her is what you're saying.
Kind of, yeah. She was in a store shopping, and I was in there, and so I was like, is that her? And I was, you know, walking around. I was with my wife.
It's creepy.
But anyway, she is stunning in person. Like, she's hot on film, but I mean, she's just like, but it's natural beauty. It's not like all dolled up. It's like a girl next door or
that
high school
black
girl.
Chick on there too. Oh my God.
Yeah, I know why you watch. There's a bunch of nudity on there, man.
Oh no. I mean, my favorite character is the new character that I don't want to get into and ruin it for anybody, but towards the end, I mean, there's only three more episodes left in the season. So
what season
end,
six?
Oh no, this is eight, I believe.
Season eight. Have you ever watched the original version, Australian version?
No.
No? It's on Netflix. It's actually really good, too.
Yeah.
Check it out.
I tried to do that with The Office, and the British version sucks. Sorry, Ricky Gervais.
What?
Yeah, I don't like it as much.
He had a hilarious tweet about waking up to Trump being president. So my B-side choice of the week, I'm going back-to-back weeks of it not being something visual, audio, TV, film, music. I'm going with a clothing line that is my new favorite clothing line. It's been this, I shouldn't say new, it's been that way for about a year and a half. Roots of Fight. I highly recommend it. It's a clothing line that basically features Hall of Fame boxers. So, you know, I have a lot of my Ali shirts, Evander Holyfield, Lennox Lewis, Joe Lewis. So you get a lot of that kind of retro boxer, MMA, Bruce Lee stuff. They got some like Chuck Liddell. They even got some baseball with Jackie Robinson, Babe Ruth. The reason why I love it is, A, it has that retro feel to it. So the T-shirts aren't, you know, crazy colored and basically like what you see in WWE shop, where it's just like all these, I hate to say it, redneck style T-shirts where it, like a viper coming out of a shirt or a bunch of skulls like Triple H. Or
so like Affliction.
Yes. But it's kind of got that retro feel where the logos or the names are a little worn down. But dude, the material that they use, just like, it's not that super big boxy shirt. It kind of fits you no matter what size you are. If you're a bigger guy like I am, I would definitely go with XL because they can run a little tight. But dude, they do sweatpants.
You're in an XL anyway.
No, I wear large in a lot of stuff, dude. I'm almost 6'2". I'm at like.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but I mean,
trying to act like you a little guy.
No, I'm tall wise, yes, but as far as thick wise, sometimes you buy an XL and it's like super boxy.
Oh
and
yeah,
it just
it's like
super down.
Short and yeah, wide
this,
and weird.
Yeah, this one hugs the shoulders but kind of goes down straight.
It's called
the
True Fit.
True Fit. Yeah. There you go. I was trying to look what that's called. Love it. Roots of Fight, man. Highly recommend. It's a little pricey. You know, $35, $38 for a T-shirt.
Fuck that.
Hoodie. I got a Mike Tyson, a huge Tyson. They got Ali Tyson. I have like two, three different sweatshirts of Tyson. But one is Empire State Game, Syracuse, New York, 1985. Yeah, I think you've seen me rock that a couple of times. But, dude, it's just
I never see
sweatshirts.
You outside of this studio.
That's not true. Is it?
Yeah, pretty much. I think we've hung out like one time out of here.
How dare you? We're best friends.
With that stupid hat.
So anyway, that's it. Roots of Fight. Definitely check them out. Highly recommend. It's awesome. All right. Let's get into our fun week in wrestling. Three things. I didn't watch any of it.
All right, let's go. Let's see what you got.
Last week I called Zayn would be the guy to go against Miz for the IC title. I guess that's going to be what happens.
Well, you'd be right if you said that Ziggler had the IC title.
Or who'd I say? Miz. Ziggler. I'm sorry. I wrote Miz down here. That's how long freaking Trump.
Thanks, Trump.
Thanks, Trump. Bastard. Yeah, Zayn. I think that'll be a good match, man.
I don't care. I just don't like Sami Zayn. I wish he just had something about him that made me care. Like, Ziggler tweeted at him today, like, why am I worried about the Paperboy coming over from SmackDown? You know what I mean? And that's the
truth. Really?
Yeah.
So he's going. So
it's a worked shoot, obviously.
No. But I mean, that's kind of a heel thing to do. So
his Twitter tag is Heel Ziggler.
Yeah, no, but he was super face after he beat Miz. Okay, so my question to you is, does the belt stay on SmackDown no matter who wins, or if Zayn wins, does he take it to Raw because now the
I've got this weird thing that the IC title is going to go over to Raw.
Raw.
And they, with the U.S. title being treated more like the TV title or the European title, which is the tertiary title. And then the Cruiserweight's moving to SmackDown. Because I think, despite the fact that you have 3 hours on Raw, which is cool, I think cool. SmackDown is the more wrestling-heavy and real show of the two.
Absolutely.
And I think if you're trying to make the Cruiserweight division what it was when it was introduced in 94 or 95 in WCW, you've got to put it on the show where the wrestling-heavy fans are watching. Now, the other thing is truthfully, I don't think Kalisto is going to beat Brian Kendrick.
Oh, that was my next thing. Wait, real quick. So you think that the Cruiserweights are going to SmackDown even though they have their new show on Tuesdays and they're kind of pushing them off of Raw? You think then they'll be on SmackDown?
Well, you got to remember the thing about the network is it's all on demand, so it's not really competing with itself. It's not like you get ratings for how many people watch your first run.
No, I just mean like where that division will be featured. Do you think that it's going to be...
I don't know. I think the whole thing's kind of convoluted and weird right now, man. I hate... That they didn't really think out the brand split, and I hate that they're going to the Survivor Series versus thing so soon. It's been 5 months. We've already seen these matchups. Just because you're putting heels and faces onto teams doesn't make it any more interesting. It just makes me care less.
Yeah, I mean, I was excited to first hear it, but then when you see who they've chosen and kind of like the storyline.
And now Shane's on the fucking Survivor Series team.
Like, Rollins is fifth on Raw. Shane is now fifth.
We knew Rollins was going to be the fifth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there was no doubt about that.
I think with the Cruiserweight, I've been disappointed with how they've booked it on Raw, so I'm excited that they have their own show, their own style of production, and be able to tell stories and then have those guys occasionally show up on Raw and maybe have a match. I think it's a good vehicle to get that division even more so. With all the – it had so much heat coming out of the Cruiserweight Classic. And
there's so many guys that there could be a Cruiserweight division on both shows and it wouldn't suffer at
all. I don't know, especially with all the talk. I mean, like, is there anything wrestling on Raw anymore? It just feels like it's talk segment.
Sometimes.
2 minutes. So we talked about Shane, SmackDown. The rumor is Shane now, well, I'll get into that. Well, Shane and Brock at Mania. So are you excited with this Kendrick Kalisto?
No, I don't like the stylistic matchup. I like both guys.
Because you were hoping Kalisto would get involved in this.
I was, but it was when Perkins was champion because I thought – might be a way for Perkins to learn a new ring style from a dude that's been around like Samurai Del Sol.
You mean your favorite rave twink wrestler?
Oh my god, I hate PTJ
Perkins.
We got
so much feedback about that.
Do people get mad? Because I don't
think they got no. I didn't hear anybody say, "Oh, you guys are a holes or dicks." And not at all. I just think people, you can give a point and then you don't care about crossing that line, and so it's humorous when you're listening to it. But if any of us ever said it, we would be, you know...
ostracized?
Yeah, or we would, you know, people would think of us in a
I said it earlier in the show, I'll say it again. Like,
you can get away with it.
Am I like this in real life when I'm not representing one of the three brands that I work for? Absolutely. I'm a shoot-from-the-hip guy. I'm going to tell you what I think in as few words as possible because, quite frankly, I don't want to overthink it, and I never want to be the guy that's forced to be PC. You know, like... should I not use words like gay or the F word that implies that? No, I probably shouldn't. But you know what? At my age and in the ways that I use them, I don't feel bad about using them because I never use them to ridicule an actual homosexual person. And I know there's a million PC people that are going to be like, well, nobody's going to know that unless they're your friend. And it's like, right, I use those words around my homosexual friends. And while they might be a little shocked at first, they realize where I'm going with it and understand that it has nothing to do with me hating that lifestyle or them in particular. It's just lazy language. And should I clean it up? Yes. Am I going to? Probably not.
I can attest to this. 2 points on that. One, that everything you said is 100% true. Dixon fights for everyone. He loves everyone. But he has no filter with the language
And I'm also coming off a pretty severe brain injury.
But you said that stuff before that.
Yeah.
And there's no filter. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You might have said it probably worse. It's probably, if anything, is maybe...
It's gotten worse, dude. It's definitely gotten worse, yeah.
Two is, can I create a segment where you just have a conversation with yourself where you do the voices of the person that is arguing with you? Because that is so entertaining.
Can the first one be you? Can it be me and you arguing and me mocking your voice?
So let's do this. We have barely any other... That's it for wrestling of the week other than our number 14 wrestler. Do a conversation of Fancy J and you discussing something. And have it be real. Don't be like saying I stick pickles up my hiney or something.
That was last week with the cucumbers bro.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know. Let me think about this for a little while, right, and we'll do it next week. Because there definitely won't be any wrestling news next week either.
No. By the way, that was one of the weirdest descriptions I ever had put up for a podcast between rave,
yo,
cucumber,
you're the one that brought up the fucking
death,
weird shit stool.
2CW, yeah, how to go number two. It was all about.
Oh, by the way, the New Year's Eve 2CW show has been postponed until 2017.
What?
Long story, can't get into it, but let's just say that everybody will be better off because of it.
Okay, it's Q1 17? That means quarter one for all those people who don't know.
I will simply reply with something that you're not going to understand that I'll tell you off the air.
Okay.
L-O-T-E. L-O-T-E. Probably 11.
Okay. So if anybody understands that code, now you know. All right. So let's get into, you want to go into the number 14 wrestler or do you want to do the would you rather? Or do you want to do would you rather?
We're on wrestling. Let's talk wrestling.
Number 14, Seth Rollins.
Ugh.
AKA Tyler Black. I mean, dude, there's only like two or three guys I have on the list that are currently wrestling. I can't have everybody be that's all retired from the 80s and 90s, or why that's what I'd be currently watching wrestling. Love Rollins.
So this is number 14?
This is number 14. Okay. Right?
Yeah, you're right.
Seth Rollins, I did not know who he was. And, you know, you guys can all send me hate messages. I had no idea who he was until he came up in the Shield. I wasn't following ROH at the time. Didn't really know any of the indie circuit. If it wasn't in the E, WCW, I didn't know about it until I started really diving in the last couple of years via podcasting and reading stuff. And then being able to watch all of it because it's all over various stations. But then I went back and got to watch a lot of his... Well, a lot of the matches that were available to watch via ROH, YouTube, you know. Dixon has taught me what YouTube is over the course
of the show. I introduced you to the internet.
Yeah, Google. I appreciate that. It's changed my life, man. I mean, what can I say? I love his style of wrestling. I don't really like how they made him into a whiny heel over the last year and a half and how he would always lose. But then whenever he had to retain... His matches were always the best in the card. I think he's just—I think he's awesome. He's super entertaining when he comes out or he's in a match. I definitely want to watch it.
I don't really think he would even be in my top 100.
Yeah. Well, hey, I mean, we're probably gonna have a lot of that.
He's still young, man. He's got to.
He's still young.
He's got to prove. He's got to prove that he's worth something.
What I try to do with my list is. Who are my all-time, but also who I currently love that I would say...
But hey, that's
you know
not
what
this was about. This was about your top, your favorite 20 wrestlers of all time.
So he's one of my 20 favorite wrestlers.
Of all time.
Of all time. But you see, you've got to understand, I don't know all the wrestlers you know. You probably have an encyclopedia of over 1,000. I have WWE in the 80s and through now, and then WCW in the mid to late 90s, early aughts. That's all I know.
But you know way more about hot dogs than I do.
So exactly. That's why out. That's why it's hard for me to pick the top five hot dogs, and it's easy for you. See?
Zweigels, bro, every single time.
Zweigels,
yeah. Rochester Company, they do a red and a white just like the Syracuse-based Hoffman, but it's a way tighter dog, man. It's not all loosey-goosey.
What do you mean by tighter dog?
It's got more of a, you know how when you bite through the casing and you get that pop?
Yeah.
It's got more of that, and the meat is a little more condensed and less... Filler, I guess, is the way to put it. Not that there's a ton of filler in the Hoffman hot dogs, but there is way less in the Zweigel. It's a smaller, more manageable wiener. In
Does it
the
come
red
like
and the
a
white.
Yellow or green type package?
Clear. You can only get them locally at Wegmans.
What do you prefer, the red or the white?
depends on what else is going on the table, man. Like, if we're talking summer picnic, I want one of each. A lot of it also depends on what kind of mustard's on the table. If there's a spicy mustard, I'm going white. If it's just a yellow, I'm probably going red.
Does a side matter, like potato salad, macaroni salad?
I don't eat anything
chips,
that has mayonnaise in it.
Okay, so what you were saying depends on what's on the table. So it's condiment
mustard
specific?
Wise, yeah. And also I'm a big fan of the New England bun.
What's
one
that?
That's split across the top instead of stuffing it in the side like a miniature sub roll.
See, I don't like the split across the top because then whenever I break it.
You don't. That's the idea is you just slide your wiener in ever so gently.
And then it just sits there. And then all of the condiments spill all over.
You got I'm looking at you right now. You got that giant set of lips and teeth on you, bro. It's not like you can't put.
I was told I have sexy lips, okay? So how dare you?
Especially if they're wrapped around a Zweigel's White Hot.
Holla. That's right.
Anyway.
Or a cucumber. Seth Rollins, number 14. I dig him. Which is kind of funny. Seth Rollins likes to show off his hot dog a lot, too, via social media.
Instagram.
Oh, look at that little segue. Now back onto you.
More of like a Vienna sausage.
I never saw it. Did you see it?
Yeah.
I was afraid to look.
Yeah.
Because I was like, if it's so big, then I'd be like, oh, man, that's depressing. But if it was super small, then I'd be like, it's going to be hard for me to think he's a badass in the ring. So I was just like, I don't want
to
know.
I like to know where I stand with certain people.
You like to compare yourself to the wrestlers?
Not necessarily
or
just the wrestlers,
people.
But just famous people in general. Anytime there's a dick pic out there, I got
to check it
compare
out?
And contrast.
Did you see Tom Brady's naked bun cheeks?
No.
When he was sunbathing a couple weeks ago?
No.
Compare butts or just penises?
Just penises.
Just penises.
I need to know that I'm in that same league, and I definitely am.
Who's had the best penis out of a famous person that you've seen? And I have my answer. I think I know who you're going to say.
Man, that's a tough one.
Yeah. I know who's the most famous naked penis of all time. Going back to Colin Farrell, he had a sex tape with the Playboy Playmate, which I have a funny story on that. One day,
who's
I'll
Colin Farrell?
He's Will Ferrell's brother.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know.
I kind of figured.
The best celebrity penis that you have seen.
Man, this is a tough one.
There's two that come to mind that I would think you would say.
All right, let's hear them.
Both kind of music. One, Tommy Lee in the Pamela video.
Yeah, he's a tripod. I'm not in that.
You don't like it super big, but not super small. You like that? All right. And two is, I never saw this one. I did see the Tommy Lee because of Pamela. I guess Lenny Kravitz when he was poking out of the bottom of his shorts.
That dude
everybody was talking about.
You have no idea. Length and girth. It looked like he was hiding an anaconda in those other pants. Like. Lenny Kravitz is a god among men.
Okay.
Especially in that realm.
So is he the number one then?
No, because that's scary.
That's scary. Okay. You don't like big snakes. You like little gardeners.
No, I want to feel secure in my own.
Okay, so who is it?
I don't know.
Come on. You just said you've seen them all. You've got to have one come to mind. You're just like, yeah. You don't have to be held to it, but you've got to at least have something at the top of your mind.
I'll say Sacha Baron Cohen.
And Borat?
Actually, Borat? Bruno.
Oh, and Bruno. Well, you saw it in Borat, too.
No, you didn't see his penis in Borat.
When he's on the naked guy and they're like...
No, remember, they put the black out and then turn it to the floor. In Bruno, you see his actual dickhole talk. Remember? And that's what makes it special.
I forgot it.
I've been trying to train mine and it just doesn't work.
Doesn't work.
I'm trying to play ventriloquist dummy, you know what I mean? Like,
doesn't work. I would be afraid if my penis started talking to me.
I'd be into it, dude.
I wouldn't, because then it would talk when you're doing stuff to it, and then it would tell you, I don't need my own penis to tell me what I'm doing wrong. Like,
You got your wife to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I've been told that many of times. I don't need my
Are
own
Are you a fumbler?
Genitals. A fumbler?
Are you a clumsy fumbler when it comes to women?
No. Come on, man.
Are you aware of what
Fancy
the clitoris
J
is?
Fancy J in the day, Dirty J at night. Oh!
You didn't answer my question.
Well, I didn't hear the question.
Are you aware of what the clitoris is and where it's located?
It's
not an exit off the Jersey Turnpike, bro.
No, it's the place in between. It's like that. There's like a special spot that's like below the vagina, not in it, but like below it and between like the butt. Kind of like where the men's taint would be. Like that's where the clit is.
All right, so on to number 14 for me, as Jay embarrasses himself endlessly here. I'm going to go with Stan the Lariat Hansen. Are you familiar with Stan the Lariat Hansen?
I'm familiar with Stan Hansen. I don't know that middle name.
He's the Lariat. Do you know why he's referred to as the Lariat?
Oh, no.
Because that dude was blind as a bat and just threw that clothesline at you and did not care where he hit you with it.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy crap. And he nailed it hard.
Yeah. This is a dude that punched Van Vader in the face so hard that Vader's eye popped out. Do you know what Stan the Lariat Hansen did in response to that?
Laughed.
He shoved that sumbitch right back in the socket and they continued on with the match.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
Did Vader know? Did he?
Yeah.
I mean, I know he knew that his eye was out, but did Vader say, hey, do it, or he just did it anyway?
He just did it. Stan Hansen was just like, yo, Leon, your eye's out of the socket. I'm going to shove it back in.
What did Vader do?
He thanked him, I guess. I mean.
Damn. What promotion was that in?
WCW.
Was it on TV?
Like, I don't believe so.
Yeah, it was on one of the house shows or something?
I mean, some of my and here's the thing, and I hate to admit this, but the reason I love Stan Hansen as much as I did is due to one of the kayfabe magazines from back in the day, and I don't remember specifically if it was Inside Wrestling or The Wrestler, but there was this kayfabe magazine that was under the PWI banner, and I forget what the parent company was called, but there was a lady that turned out to not be a lady. No,
Tiger Beat. Okay.
So, her name, the author's name was Liz Hunter. All those guys, Stu Stacks, like some of them existed, a lot of them did not. Liz Hunter was not a real person. Liz Hunter was a pseudonym for a writer. So it was like this thing where like she was trying to track down the ever elusive Stan Hansen and find out what his thoughts were on his career and blah blah blah. And they went to his Texas ranch and his wife is this beaten down kept woman and his kids are all afraid of him and all this stuff. And he shows up and Liz Hunter's there and you're a professional wrestling journalist. And it turns out that like they played it off like she was there for his chili recipe and like it was just like this bullshit like Harlequin novel type.
So he's the opposite of Heath Slater right now.
What do you mean?
Like country boy out in the middle of the world. Slater did it for his family.
He's a former NFL player. You know, he always wore
the. Playing for?
I want to say the Dolphins. I'm probably wrong with that because I know
you continue to talk. I'm going to look it up.
There was a whole group of them. There was Blackjack Mulligan, Dusty Rhodes, Dick Murdoch, Stan Hansen, all played for NFL teams, or at the time it may have even been AFL teams. But
I think it might be AFL.
But Stan Hansen was a bad mother trucker. This was a dude that like teamed with Bruiser Brody, fought with Bruiser Brody, teamed with Abdullah the Butcher, fought Abdullah the Butcher. But you knew you were in a fight when you were in a match with Stan the Lariat Hansen. And the dude that I think these days that matches up well to him, and I know that he's a dude that also is a big Stan Hansen fan and got to meet him in Japan, is a young man by the name of Brute Van Slyke, who headlined this past weekend in Oneida, which is his hometown, a show at a theater there. I wish I had more details. I think it was called like Slam Jam or
Oneida, New York.
Yeah. But, you know, Brute Van Slyke, in my opinion, one of the best big men on the independent circuit. I know that Ring of Honor is doing their top prospects tournament right now, and I tweeted at Ring of Honor and told them, like, yo, you kind of let this kid down last year. He's been to Japan since. He's done a lot of big things in the industry. He's held that GSW title for a good long time. If you're looking for a legitimate top prospect, Ring of Honor, Brute Van Slyke's your guy. He's got my endorsement. He should have yours as well.
You picked the guy to win that last year.
I did, and it didn't happen. He didn't even get in.
No. You picked the guy that you...
Oh, Leo Rush.
Yeah, you picked Leo Rush to win, and he won. Wait, so this guy emulates Stan Hansen?
To a degree. I mean, he's got the big lariat, and he's a big dude that loves eating steak. And, you know, a lot of the moveset stuff, I think, where Brute is, I think, is borrowed from guys like Stan Hansen, Bruiser Brody, Vader, to a degree. He does a lot of the more acrobatic or athletic stuff, a la Bam Bam Bigelow. He's got a good look. And he's a monster. I don't know. I don't know where Ring of Honor is thinking. One of my dream matches right now that has never happened, that could potentially happen in the world of professional wrestling, is the Beer City Bruiser versus Brute Van Slyke. I think they match up really well size-wise, moveset-wise. I think it could be something that tears down the house pretty regularly for Ring of Honor.
Yeah, that would be cool. Stan Hansen, it doesn't say that he played football, but his son was drafted by the Seattle Mariners a couple years ago. He was a second pick in the sixth round of the 2009 Major League Baseball draft.
Maybe it was just college football.
Yeah, he went to the University of Texas.
Yeah.
Of Austin or Arlington. Awesome. Yeah, no, I mean, that's definitely, sometimes you pick guys that I don't know, so I then go do research on. I definitely know him.
So that's it for this week, right, on wrestling?
Pretty much, yeah. Yep. Before the Would You Rather, fan question of the week, this was asked.
I forgot we had this terrible new segment.
Yeah, that's kind of cool, interaction. I'm just
messing with our listeners.
Yeah.
All 19 of you.
How dare you? We have at least 50 plus, at least.
It was just like how you like your women. 50 plus.
Older women are, they know what
gross.
They like. gross. Fan question of the week. Why do you call me Fancy J? A lot of people are wondering why the name. And a lot of them, I'm not going to lie, a lot of them are people that know me, and they're like, why are you called Fancy J? Please tell me you're Fancy J, but why?
Okay.
Gave me the nickname, so tell me why.
I'm a blue-collar kid that grew up on the southwest side of Syracuse in a pretty terrible neighborhood, and then grew up to become a hardcore kid. So I'm covered in tattoos, bald-headed. I had a beard down to my waist up until New Year's of last year, and I'm a pretty simple guy. I'm a jeans and T-shirt, and you know, I'm not really all that caring about my outward appearance. And the flip side of this is we have
you've been caring the last
Fancy J.
Don't sell yourself short. Yes.
Homeboy with his tailored suits and his loud pink ties and
purple
fancy. I'm not talking about today, bitch.
Oh, you just mean hip hop, bitch. Go, so you can just try.
But you know, the other term I would use is fashion plate, a la Freddie Blassie.
There you go. See, I like that.
Yeah, but you're not a crotchety old dude with a cane, and no. You were never bit somebody's face in the Cow Palace in San Francisco.
You don't know what I do in my private life. But no, I mean,
the Cow Palace hasn't existed correctly during your life.
I don't even know what you said, but I'm assuming it's something bad.
But no, it's just like you're very fashion forward and not in a way that, you know.
Is something that you would see around Central New York?
No, you're giving yourself too much credit there. I'm just saying.
I'm just trying to understand. I'm not.
Well, no, I mean, you're fancy compared to me. That's why it worked. I mean, when we were doing this with Big Boy, you know what I mean? Like, he was a sweatpants guy, and I'm a jeans and T-shirt guy.
But you've been stepping up your game, man. You're rocking the, what do they call it, Kango hats and
Kango
hats and button-ups, man. And
it's winter, bro. They're called flannel shirts. They keep you warm.
First of all, you know us before it was winter. Stop selling yourself short. You still are the man. You still, you know that. I don't give a crap, but you can dice
yourself up. No, my radio station went alternative, so, you know, I lead by example.
That's awesome. You look good,
jump in
man.
There and try and do a few things that are more fashion-oriented but aren't going to make me look like a weird freaky spectacle.
Well, I get more comment.
I'm not calling you a weird freaky spectacle, right. But a lot of the young kids today with the dude, help me understand this. Yes. Since you're a fashion guy, this will be our last topic, and then we're going to sign off.
No. Before we sign off, I got a what do you rather you have to answer.
All right. Joggers.
Yes.
Why?
What do you mean?
They're not really sweatpants because they're not really made out of sweatpant material. What's the point, man? Like, wait, if what? I wanted to wear high waters, I'd just roll my goddamn pants up.
Oh, the joggers where it's like kind of,
They're tapered into your shoe, and the legs are too short, and they're wicked baggy in the thighs, and everybody wears them with like their boxers hanging out. Like,
I have no idea.
Okay, here's the.
I can't do the super tight pants. I don't like the tight, super tight jeans. I don't like.
I do the skinnies because my legs got real thin,
but that's fine.
The only way they work.
But they don't. But your skinnies aren't literally.
I don't buy the ones with spandex in them.
Yeah, where it's hugging you. Like even Kanye is rocking the skinny jeans, but they're down below his ass. And
I don't get that whole thing.
I don't understand that, man. I want to be comfortable. I don't want
to
be.
So here's my question to our audience. Explain joggers to me.
Okay. Explain joggers. Write that to us. Yeah. I'll give you how you can write it to us after.
Also,
this.
While you're at it, explain hot fudge to me. Because it's never hot and it's not fudge.
All right. 5 minutes. SmackDown has added a fourth. You know what? No, I got to come up with some cool thing for the BS news report when we go into it.
Oh, my God. I thought we were done. You told me we were done.
No.
You said you only had three things.
Yeah, but we barely talked any wrestling, so these are just bullet points. SmackDown. They put a fourth announcer on the show, Tom Phillips, with JBL, Otunga, and Ronaldo. How do you like that?
I feel like Otunga's on his way out.
You think that's the reason why? That should be very interesting. I wonder if they're going to do like dude two and two, like calls.
I'm gonna bang your wife. I'm going to bang your wife, Dave Otunga.
She's a little person. Brock Lesnar versus Shane McMahon at WrestleMania.
I think it's a dumb idea.
I don't know. I'll be interested to see how Shane does. I want to see Brock versus Joe, man. Give me Samoa Joe. Give me Rusev.
Or Rusev.
Yeah, give me somebody big and badass.
Strowman.
The way Strowman's going, I'll watch that
Baron
match.
Baron Corbin.
I'll still watch that, though. So you'll get a kick out of this. We already talked about Kalisto and Kendrick. Jericho and Sin Cara got into a fight over the weekend.
Can you believe Jericho bit that dude's finger?
Yeah, so the story goes that Sin Cara was involved in another backstage.
He was making annoying noises.
On a bus. In Europe. And people were getting super pissed off at him. He was being loud and annoying. And then Jericho told him to stop. He told him to F off. They got in each other's face. And I guess they were going at it. People separated him. And in the middle of them being separated, Jericho was biting his hand.
His finger.
But the reports originally were coming out that Jericho got laid out and Sin Cara is now 3-0. But at the same time, and Sin Cara got kicked off the bus.
He had to walk.
Right there, he got kicked off the bus, which was awesome. Jericho posted on Instagram like an hour or two later, and he didn't look like anything was wrong with him. So, again, it's wrestling.
It was a front face lock choke from what I heard.
Oh, really?
And a front chancery that went into a choke, and that's how Jericho reached out. It was just ridiculous.
Do you think Cara stays with the company?
Yeah. There's no way they would have had him on TV this week if he had any repercussions.
Good point. WWE Network News are going to release two new additions to the collection bucket, Austin vs. McMahon Part 2 and Randy Savage, Cream of the Crop. Cannot wait for the latter.
I take the Savage.
Yeah, totally. Mania has once again made the top 10 of Forbes Fab 40, the world's most valuable sports brand events listed for the third year in a row. WrestleMania came in at number 5 behind the Super Bowl, Olympics, Summer Olympics, Winter Olympics, and FIFA's World Cup. That's some pretty high company right there. They valued
What's FIFA?
Mania. What's FIFA?
Is that World some Cup? Weird French thing?
Yeah, it's like the greatest.
Sex toy?
Jeez. Forbes valued Mania at $180 million. A 5.9% change from 1 year ago, number 5. You know, I mean, it's pretty impressive. And they say that they generated $29.4 million in the live event for Dallas. It's pretty awesome. And our guy's falling asleep here. According to the latest Wrestling Observer newsletter, the women's tournament that Triple H and the team want to do will be on the network sometime in January or March. They want to do something similar that they did with the Cruiserweight, find NXT talent, but also talent outside of the world.
Do not allow Sara Del Rey to wrestle in this tournament, I don't care.
Will you watch it if she's in it?
I'll watch her matches, yeah.
Wow, that's a huge, huge step for women's wrestling right there. And I know a lot of our listeners wish you liked women's wrestling.
Some of these broads are worth watching.
There you go. And before we sign off, the would you rather. I told you 5 minutes.
Jesus Christ.
Would you rather wake up naked and sore and without any memory of the night before?
You act like that hasn't happened before.
Next to Burger King, next to like the Burger King guy telling you you had it your way, or wake up naked next to Ronald McDonald telling you that you were loving it. Again, would you want to wake up naked and sore with no memory next to Burger King guy telling you you had it your way?
His name's the King, bro.
Or the King.
Get it right.
Yeah, see, the King. You had it your way, or wake up naked next to Ronald McDonald telling you that you were loving it.
I'm going to go Burger King all the way. They flame broil, bitch.
Yeah, and it's not a scary clown. All right, you can follow us on...
Yo, I don't get a would you rather?
Oh, yes,
that's
please,
jacked up,
please,
son.
Please. I've been asking you to give me one for...
I'm gonna close it with my overall tone for the last day and a half. Would you rather stay here under the tyrannical leader of Mr. Cheeto himself, or would you rather move to Colombia with me before January 20th so you don't have to deal with it? Because I'm considering moving to Colombia.
If you picked a different country,
you can live like a king in Colombia on $30,000 a year.
I was thinking New Zealand.
No, dude, the economy that you would be blowing dudes in Burger King bathrooms to pay for your family's shit.
Dude, I would bring my money over. I don't have any money. So
exactly.
How dare you? You don't know how fancy I am.
No, I do. Account. And that, dude, New Zealand. Like, if you said Australia,
Colombia's
I'd let you have
scary,
it.
Dude. I mean,
I'd let you have it. But New Zealand
I was gonna say Australia,
is this
New Zealand.
Weird...
Like, too many killer snakes in Australia. But in Colombia, if I had money, I'm just going to get freaking robbed and kidnapped.
No, that's why you stay under the radar.
I do got a Latin feel. A lot of people think I'm Latin. So there you go, man. Yeah, it would work. I would go with you. Can I bring my family, though? Do I have to go alone?
Oh, you're not living with me. I'm just saying you're coming with.
But can I bring my family?
Yeah, like we can go on the same flight and stuff. But once we get there, you on your own.
What?
And we'll hang out and stuff, but like.
You got to help me find a place to live.
I got to do that for myself.
Yeah, we help each other. That's what best friends do.
No, because your idea would be like, yo, why don't we just get one big cabana?
No way. I would want to share a place with you. I mean, especially if you have my face down here, Johnson. Like, I don't want to see that.
And I like fireworks a lot, too.
There you go. No, we would help each other find a place, then yes. If not, then I would stay here with Cheeto, is what you called him?
Grand Poobah Cheeto. Or as I'm going to start calling him, President Camacho.
Our WWE Hall of Famer president. Follow us on Twitter at The Beast Show Wrestling. Follow us on Facebook and like our page at The Beast Show, a wrestling podcast. Email us at The Beast Show, a wrestling podcast at Gmail. Story ideas, thoughts, question of the week, and please subscribe, download, review our
show. What's your Twitter handle and Instagram there?
Mine personally?
No, the one that you check that I never look at.
It's at B Show Wrestling.
Follow us. Send dick pics. We'll see you next week. Have a good week. Bye-bye.